Hi, everyone. Russ Thomas here from RST Coaching Academy. Welcome to a new episode of Money Talks, where we talk about money and how to make more of it. Hey there, everybody out there in internet land. This here is Russ with RST Coaching Academy for another super episode of Money Talks on all the platforms that we appear on. And today I've got a friend of mine from Phoenix, Arizona. His name is Jason Neunemacher, and he is a coach like I am. We kind of travel in the same circles in that realm. And he has been gracious enough to sign on today to be interviewed by yours truly. But you know what? I'm not going to really do much talking. I'm going to turn it over to him and let him do virtually all of the talking, because he's got a story to tell and a product to show you, to demonstrate and talk about and so on. So I just want to tell you folks, listeners, viewers, that he's a man that you're going to be able to believe and trust. And what he says, he's been around the block doing this for a few years here, and listen to what he's got to say. So Jason, without further ado, I introduce you and say, have at it. And when you want to go back to the conversational mode, you just let me know and we'll take it back. All right. Take care. Go for it.
Excellent, Russ. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. And I love to be around like-minded people like yourself and the things that you're doing. So it's really a passion, I can tell, of yours and of mine to help other people. You know, we've been places where we needed a lift up, we needed a hand, we needed some information we didn't have, and a community of other people that we could just bounce ideas off of. And so being part of that and facilitating a place that other people can get that kind of help is something that just a passion of mine to help other businesses and individuals. So I'm going to just let you know, first of all, I'm a serial entrepreneur. Over the last 25 years, I've helped build and grow multiple 7- and 8-figure tree and landscape businesses. I'm also the co-founder of the Disruptor Group, one of the trainers, coaches here with the Disruptor Group. And we help home service businesses who want to make more profit. And so what I want to talk today about, and I'm going to share my screen here. If you could allow me to share my screen on your end.
Let's see now. Where do I do that? Sorry, I wasn't prepared for that part of it.
That's okay. Might be like a green button that says share screen as a menu.
Share screen, yeah.
There might be a menu that allows.
Yeah, so you're not able to do it right yet because it's checked one participant can share. Let's just say multiple and then see if that does anything for you.
There we go. Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. Yeah, so we're just talking about going beyond limits and breaking through growth plateaus. So, and before I get into the kind of tactical and practical of breaking through, I want to begin by sharing a remarkable story that embodies unwavering focus, which is a quality that can redefine anybody's path to success. And it's also key to achieving your true potential. So, the story is back in December of 12, 1953, there's a man by the name of Chuck Yeager. And if you don't know who he is, he's a legendary test pilot. He's known for breaking the sound barrier and pushing himself and experimental aircraft beyond limits. And at that time, he was about 80,000 feet in the air and had just reached Mach 2.4 speeds, which is a speed no one had ever reached before. And as he cut the engine and he put the aircraft into a planned familiar spin, the aircraft suddenly went into an uncontrollable tumble known as inertia coupling. And Chuck had never experienced that before. And to make matters worse, he had lost radio communication with his team, and they had not built an ejection seat on this aircraft. So he knew that his only survival was to regain control of the aircraft with enough time and enough altitude to safely land. And so, being extremely disoriented, and he plummeted over 50,000 feet in just over a minute, he drew on his extensive training, his experience, and countless hours of rehearsing and preparing with his advisors and peers. And in his commitment to survival, it's said that Chuck had locked his eyes onto a single distant point. It was a majestic mountain peak. And this mountain peak became his lifeline, became his beacon of hope. And slowly but surely, the plane responded to his skillful piloting, and Chuck's steady hand, his unyielding focus, allowed him to regain control and pull out of the deadly tumble. And he leveled off at about 25,000 feet, and he ended up safely landing the aircraft on Rogers Dry lake bed in Edwards Air Force Base. Now, Chuck's story is obviously a testament to the limits that we can push ourselves to, and the success we can have even when all things go wrong, if we fix our sights on a singular distant point. So for us running and leading businesses, we believe that that mountain peak is profit. And profit is the only measurable that will truly tell us that we will safely reach our destination. So why do so many businesses go into a death spiral and fail? Now, here's what the stats say, and this is a study that Brandon Dawson from Cardone Ventures did. And there's 31.5 million small to mid-sized businesses in America. And in that study, he found two-thirds of them fail within 5 years, 97% fail within 10 years. And looking at the top three reasons that they failed, first one was lack of product and demand. And I think some of that lack of product in demand is us not being able to articulate what we actually serve customers to do, which is a huge part of understanding. Number two is can't find great people. How many times we hear from customer and business after business that I just can't find great people. And then ultimately that leads to the third reason for failure, which is a lack of profitability. And so that's why having that focus on profitability is so important. And so what I normally ask people to do if I'm in a live setting, but we can even do it here, but I want you to kind of think about, take a few moments and just think about your mountaintop. Where's your peak? And so what we ask everybody to do is take out a pen and write down the answer to this question. And I want you to think about the answer without thinking about the how, without thinking about the mechanics. Grant Cardone says mechanics kills dreams before they ever get started. And so the question is, if you work all year, what's the right amount of profit that you should make? So after spending all year with all the ups and downs, the countless hours and hard work, what is the right amount of profit that you feel like you should make? And normally when I ask this in a room of people, I'll go around the room and ask for people to share their answer. And some people don't necessarily want to share. We'll get some people that are like, 50,000. Someone will say 200,000, and you'll start getting people with more confidence, 800,000. I actually had someone in the room one time say, I don't want to make any profit. I don't want to pay taxes. Right. And so when I get these numbers, I start talking about, man, all these numbers are different. And so I ask the question, what do you think the difference is? And the difference is it's actually in the first of our two pillars that we anchor everything on for us to be able to have success and reach our true potential. And that pillar is mindset, having a profitable mindset and what you believe to be true. And so you must first have the right mindset, which is a profitable mindset. And then once you have your mindset adjusted and you locked onto that profit peak, then we can move you into the mechanics to navigate towards that profit. But the first place you have to start is, hey, what are the beliefs that I need to give up? What are the things that I've just been inundated throughout my life to think? You hear people say, money m won't make you happy. Well, Grant says being broke won't make anybody happy, in addition, like the thing is when I'm focused on making money, I'm focused on making money. I'm not focused on being happy. So I'm not confusing the two. It's really just an excuse or just something that we get ingrained in us that kind of paralyzes us and keeps us from moving forward. And so once we have that anchor, then we dive into the six areas that we work with companies, and there's five things in each area that we help them and make sure that they have in place. And so the first area is what we call profit positioning, which is all about your marketing and branding. And when you have your branding and your advertising correct, and one, you need to know the difference. So branding is all about building trust, and advertising is all about getting attention. And so when you get your branding correct and you know who you are, what problems you solve, who you solve them for, what's your ideal client, and you start building that foundation of what Brandon Dawson and Grant Cardone call your brand house, then now you can move into the advertising piece, which is getting your messaging right. Because if you're getting messages out and you don't even really identify who you are, who you serve, what your ideal client is, what problems you solve, your messaging is going to be wrong, and you're probably not going to get the results out of it that you're expecting. The next thing is differentiators. You got to make sure that you are differentiating yourself from your competitors. When you compare yourself to your competitors, or you let your clients or prospects compare you to your competitors, then you're going to have a hard time earning their business. So unless you people buy things that are different, not necessarily from different people or even on price. Prices, and we'll get into that later, but they buy on something that's different that they believe will solve their problem. Number three in this, you have to invest. There's no shortcuts with marketing. Like, you have to spend the money. Dan Kennedy said, whoever can spend the most will get the most. And so you have to invest money into getting that attention, because without that attention, you can't have the conversations that you need to have so that you can turn that attention into dollars. Next is understand that you're building a list, and you must have an organized way to keep this list. And so when we talk about the list, it is the most valuable thing in your business. The list, and what I'm talking about is all the people that said that raised their hand, that you got their attention. They say, hey, I have a problem that I think you can solve. And whether you did business with them or you didn't do business with them, it's also the people that you know. Grant Cardone calls it your power base. Who are the people in your list that know other people or might have something that you could solve for them? That list is the most important, most valuable thing you have, because that is how you're going to generate revenue. And it's also going to be, if you ever decide to exit your business, it's going to be the thing that people place the valuation on, is how can they monetize that list. And then lastly, we always go into the numbers, and we're going to look at ROI. What is the return on investment from my marketing activities? We got to be able to track, hey, what am I doing that's effective? What's working? What's not working? So that we can make the proper adjustments and decide what to do more of, what to do less of, or what to change. So once we have the marketing side down, then we move into what we call profitable conversations. And this is all about your sales process. And so there's five things that need to be in place for your sales. And that's the first thing. A lot of people talking about, salespeople are born. And I believe a lot of people rely on a lot of personality. And I believe personality a lot of times gets us, I've seen it in the sales teams that I've run, is we get those people that just go based off personality. They get a lot of fake sales. They get a lot of people that say yes because they feel maybe pressured into it, the wrong type of pressure. I believe in pressure, professional pressure, but because they're not using a process, they're using their personality, and they get a lot of cancellations. So I believe when other people say it's all about personality, I think it's about process. And so when you take that personality and you can dump it into a process, it doesn't matter if you have a high engaging personality, or you have a low key, soft-spoken personality. If you dump either one of those into a process, I believe that you can have better conversations. And because sales is really about communication, sales is not about selling your product or service. That's only a piece of it. It's about having a conversation that takes the attention of whatever subject matter that you wanted to talk about and moving that attention through a conversation into a mutually benefit conclusion that people take action on. And so you need a process to do that. The second thing is you need scripts. You need scripts everywhere in the process. You need it obviously in your messaging and the advertising we talked about, but then you need it with your front end people that are scheduling appointments or sales calls. And then you need it with obviously your sales team. They got to have a script. Now, I don't think you should sound scripted, but you have to have a script. And then moving into, so I work in the service industry. So moving into techs and crews, they need to have a script because everybody should be having the same types of conversation. You should be able to duplicate how you sound with your customer base. And then you talk about in your finance team, the people that are collecting money or scheduling the work or people that are handling problems and issues. What are the scripts that they're using to properly communicate and sell whatever idea they have to sell, whether that's handling a problem? Yeah, the thing they're trying to sell is that the resolution of that problem. And so if you don't understand that that is a sales call, then you're going to miss the boat. And so if you're not prepared with a script, then you're going to have an issue there. And so everywhere in your company, you need to have scripts. In addition to having scripts, you need to have ongoing training. So you think about, especially again, like I said, I worked in the tree industry and landscape industries. Tree industry is well known for having a lot of training on safety training, tailgate meetings, equipment, using equipment, the tactical things that need to happen during the job. But everybody I talk to, and I know for myself, they talk about the engine of any business is sales. And so this big engine that's running everything that everything's dependent on goes untrained. They might have a quick week onboarding on, hey, here's what we sell. Here's how we sell it. Here's how we pitch it. These are all the products and services. And then that's it. And then we just wing it. But there's no ongoing training, and it's the most important division of the company. So I believe you should have ongoing training. And then how you take that training into the marketplace and actually use it so you can benefit and have these profitable conversations, and how you take these scripts so that you don't sound scripted while you have a script is through daily role playing. And so if you're not daily role playing, you're gonna not have as much success on taking that script and taking that training and actually having your people or yourself use it in the marketplace, and so that you're prepared. So if you think of anybody in sports, in actors, singers, right? They have a playbook, they have a script, right? They have a song, and so they memorize that playbook, or they memorize that song or that script or that music, right? And then they train on it, and then they role play on it, right? They rehearse it time and time again, so that when it comes to the live event, when it comes to game time on the field, on the court, they can deliver at high levels, right? Without any interruptions. And so daily role play is what's going to make you a master of these conversations. And then the last thing, again, we always go to the numbers, is you got to track your numbers. You have to know, hey, what's working, what's not working. How many leads converted to appointments? How many appointments converted to a sale? What was the average sale? What was the client's lifetime value? What was the client's annual spend? What are those things that we can now measure and we can look at, and so we can start improving and looking at the areas that we can even make those conversations more profitable. So the next thing after the sales is we look at profit boosting offerings. So what are the products and services that you're selling? And so the first thing is I have everybody do is a walk through an exercise of creating a complete list. A lot of times we forget the things that we have to offer and the things that we can help people with. And so I have everybody complete that full list one, so you're very clear on it, and then let your entire team make sure they're aware of, hey, these are all the things that we provide and we sell to our client base. And then once you create that complete list, you're not done. The next thing you need to do is aside or beside each one of those, you need to know what problem they solve, because people don't buy the thing that you do. They buy the solution that the thing you do solves. And so if you're not clear on, hey, what does this product and what does this service solve for people, then you're going to be having the wrong conversation, and you're not going to get the you're not going to have people signing up because it's not clear to them how you solve their problem. The next thing is you must understand what your gateway services and products are, and you must have a gateway product and service. A reason for this, so you think of the tree industry, so we have a product and service that's a very high profitable and much needed service called plant healthcare. Well, a lot of people don't sign up and don't ask about plant healthcare. They ask about tree trimming. And so if you're trying to push plant healthcare in your advertising, and you realize that not a lot of people even know they have that problem or think that they need that problem solved, then you're going to miss an opportunity. We've identified in the tree industry, the gateway service is tree trimming. And so we're going to promote that because that's the thing that most people are talking about wanting help with. And then that's going to give us the most amount of conversations. And now we can start identifying other things that we can show them they didn't even know they needed help with and help them with those things. The next thing is you got to find a way to monetize your business through subscriptions. So how can you create subscriptions in your business where people are paying you monthly, quarterly, annually, as opposed to one-offs? Because again, the second, probably the second, and I don't know which order these are in, but the valuable thing in your company, one was the list. The next one is having a subscription-based company. That is going to give you a valuation higher than anything else on your business because it's ongoing revenue, automatic. And then the last thing is another thing, looking at the numbers. And so we're going to put all this into a matrix, and we're going to take all these services and we're going to put them into a matrix from things we're great at that we make a lot of profit in, all the way down to things that we're terrible at and we don't make any money on. And we're going to start making decisions on, hey, what things should we add? What things should we continue to do and do more of? And what things should we completely eliminate? Next, we're going to go into the pricing model, which we call profit-centered pricing. And so there's five things that we want people to have in place on their pricing model. The first thing is you have to know your expenses, right? So COGS and expenses. COGS are cost of goods sold. And so what those are, is there any expenses that are directly related to producing your product or service? And so you would only have those expenses if you actually sold something. Now, expenses, on the other hand, are costs that you're going to have regardless if you didn't sell anything, like your rent, your administrative payroll, your marketing, vehicles, and so forth. So understanding both of those things, what are things that I'm going to have no matter if I sell anything or not? And then what are the things that I'm going to have if I sell something that are going to cost me? The next thing is you have to have your recovery costs built in. And so if you don't understand what your recovery costs are, meaning you're going to replace tools, equipment, vehicles, there are things that you're going to replace, maybe an office, you're going to get a bigger office, a bigger location, a shop, what have you. If you don't have a pricing model that's getting the recovery of those things because they're going to wear out, they're going to get old, they're going to need to get replaced, then you're not going to be a profitable company and you're going to run into trouble when it's time to replace those things. The next thing is a vision budget. And so most people are like, well, what's a vision budget? So vision budget is when you look out in the future and say, hey, what's the type of company that I want to build? And I walk people through this exercise and they look at, I want to be able to have employee benefits, vision, dental, insurance, 401k, matching that 401k, better tools, better equipment, better trucks, a well-branded facility, just all those things that they want to do in their company. Maybe they want to, give charitably through the company. Whatever that vision is, it's obviously something that you can't do now, you can't afford to do now. And none of us print money. So all of us, every dollar we have to work with is from our customers. And so if your pricing model doesn't include supporting that vision budget, then you're not going to get there. And so then once you have these three costs, kind of thought out and what that is, then I'm going to urge you to not price just based on those costs. I'm going to urge you to price based on the value of what you're delivering. And what does it cost for somebody not to get the solution that you're offering? And what is the value if they do get it? And so you should just use your costs and your expenses to justify that you're charging enough money. But that is not where you should charge. You should stop. You should charge based on the value, or you're going to lose opportunities to create profit and to, and if you think about this, you're going to serve your customers better by having a better price, right? And everyone can think of the customer that they just love, that everybody knows, hey, we are going to take care of Mr. Jones because he spends a lot of money, right? So we got it right on that proposal. And so we're going to bend over backwards and make sure they're always happy, right? And then we all know the customers that, like, man, I really blew it on that one. I did not price it right. I don't, when they phone, when their phone number shows up on my phone, I don't want to answer it. I don't want to go back out. I don't want to talk to them. But who caused that? Wasn't the customer, it was us, because we didn't price it based on value. And so we don't do our best work, and we actually cheat the customer and we cheat ourselves. And then the last thing, of course, we're going to go to the numbers again, and we're going to look at job costing and making sure that what we set out to do, we're actually doing. So we're going to go job by job, proposal by proposal, service by service, and hey, did we get the profit that we were expecting? And what things do we need to adjust? What worked, what didn't work, so we can make those decisions. Next, we're going to jump into operations and operational proficiency, I call it. And five things there is you got to be able to define winning. What does winning look like in your organization? What does it look like for you personally? Then what does it look like for your organization? What does it look like for each department? And what does it look like for each individual? And so until you define that, it's going to be really hard to get everybody moving in the same direction and going the route that you want them to go to hit the goals that you have. The next thing is you have to understand that you are going to exit your company at some point. Whether you ever think you're going to sell it or not, all of us are going to pass away at some point. So we are going to exit. And what are we going to do with it at that point? We may sell it. I know for sure you will exit a role. Brandon Dawson talks about this, is you are going to exit a role. So you think of if you're just a solopreneur right now, you're starting out and you're wearing all the hats. Well, at some point you can talk to any business owner who's been through that phase and moved up. You exit some of those hats, right? So you start handing those things off. So you just need to be aware that, hey, I am going to be exiting a role and maybe even exiting the company. And so once I know that, then I can prepare a little bit better for the handoff. So I'm going to define winning. I'm going to know I'm going to be exiting. And then from there, a lot of people will get this wrong. They start adding people. But what you need to do is add process. And so what you realized made you good and made you profit and worked and you provided a great service, you need to document that. You need to say, hey, what did I do? Because you were wearing all the hats. What did I do to get where I'm at that was the right things to do? Because then you can duplicate yourself and start handing that out. So I always want to document everything I did that I did well that got me to where I'm at. And I'm going to process that. So now I can start adding people and training on that. And so, and on the people part, best way to onboard people is have something that they know what winning looks like. There's an clear expectation. They know where we're going. They know what winning looks like, and they know how we're expecting them to do it. And then, if you understand one of the top three things why companies failed, it was because they can't find great people. And I actually believe that. I don't believe you can find great people. I think great people are hard to come by because everybody knows they have a great person. They're not going to let them go. So what I believe is you have to build and develop great people. So you're going to do this by defining winning, by knowing that you're going to exit and building great processes, and then you're going to add some measurables in there. And that's the last thing is you're going to add measurables to measure what they're doing to make sure that the activities and behaviors that they're doing are getting you the results that you want. And then you're going to iterate as you go. You're constantly updating your processes to move the company forward better because you're going to find there's people that come into your organization actually doing things better than you and getting better results than you did. So guess what you're going to do? You're going to go document what they're doing now, right? And you can say, okay, they're doing it better than I ever did it. What are they doing? So I'm going to document. That's going to become the new standard and the new process that we're going to go now re-onboard people and train people on. So you're going to constantly measure and iterate, and you're going to look for top performers, and you're going to reward them, and you're going to set a new standard based on them. And then the last place that we looked at is what we call profit perspectives. And this is all about your financials. Five things here. You have to have accurate and timely financials. Your financials are going to tell you a story, and you need to know what the story is telling you. And so you have to have it accurate and you have to have it timely. So I do not allow the latest I will allow our financials to be available is the 10th of the month. And so once we have it available, then we are going to have a monthly review. You're going to look at those on a regular basis. We actually pay an outside person, even though we could do this ourselves. We pay an outside person to have that call with us for a couple of reasons. One, it makes sure that we have that meeting because we're spending money on it. And it's scheduled. The next thing, because it's too easy to say, man, I'm busy, I'll just do it next time. We don't want that. The next thing is because I get an outside perspective of someone that has no emotion with the numbers. So I might defend my position on some things that are in the financial statements, but that person's not. He's going to call it out or she's going to call it out and they're going to say, hey, what happened here? And so there's some things that we ask in that. If we did really good, we're going to ask why. Because we want to know, can we duplicate it or was it an anomaly? If we did really bad, we're going to ask why so we can try to fix it. Then you need to learn what are the simple levers in your financials that you can pull that are going to give you some profit hits. One of those things that Brandon Dawson talks about with Cardone Ventures is revenue per employee. It's a simple lever, but a huge lever that if you can get your employee income ratio to 250,000 per employee minimum, you're going to be hitting some good profit margins, somewhere between the 18 to 24%. And so, what are those simple levers that you can be pulling with your financials to get extra profit by focusing on it? The next thing is just understanding the 95-5 rule. And this is why we put profit perspectives last in the financials, because the 95-5 rule, this came from Grant Cardone, suggests that spend 5% of your time on financials because you can only cut so much, right? Spend 95% of your time on income and profit activities, generating activities. And then the last thing, again, we're going to talk about the numbers. So we always end every part with the numbers, and this is all about doing a budget. Most people don't do a budget. Those that do a budget, an annual budget I'm talking about for their company, they usually do it wrong. And what they do is they start with income. Well, they really start actually with expenses, right? So those COGS and those expenses, and then they say, okay, well, how much money do we need to cover those? And then they try to manipulate the numbers to figure out, okay, how can I eke out 10, 15, 20%? So what I say is, I say begin with the end in mind. This is from Stephen Covey, right? Is start with profit. Start every budget with profit and reverse engineer from the profit. And I'm not talking about a percentage. I'm talking about dollars. How much money? So we asked that question at the beginning is how much money do you want to make? And so from there, now I'm going to reverse engineer. Okay, if I want to make that much money as profit that I keep after everything's paid, how much revenue I need to produce? And then what can my expenses be to make sure that that I hit that number? And so I'm just going to go the opposite way of what most people do by beginning with the end in mind. And then the last thing, so when we go into we talked about the first of the two pillars earlier, establish all the ground, all the strategy and tactics, which is mindset, to have a profit mindset. And then we talked obviously about leveraging the six different areas in your business. So finally, the second pillar that helps anchor everything in and provide stability to achieve our goals is accountability. And so what I ask everybody to do is to take out their phone. There's a QR code and there's this mountain peak, and I'll show it to you in a minute here. There's a mountain peak that they can write their number in that they talked about. Maybe that number went up since we talked because you're like, oh, you got a little more confidence. So I can place that number a bit higher. But whatever that is, put that number in there and stare at it. And then as they're staring at about thinking about it, then I share this next story. And so one of my best friends, also my business partner, co-founder, and another coach of the Disruptor Group, he's an avid hiker. And he's rappelled many difficult mountains. He's also ran the Grand Canyon from rim to rim. Well, recently he decided to take his family on a challenging adventure. And he was hiking Mount Whitney, which is the largest mountain of the lower 48 states. Now, obviously, this wasn't your typical family hike. And he had four kids, ages 7, 9, 13, and 15 years old. And obviously, there were moments of exhaustion, dragging feet, fading spirits. But here's the inspiring part. Instead of forging ahead, he did something remarkable. When any of his kids felt overwhelmed and started lagging behind, he doubled back and he extended a hand. He engaged them in conversation. He walked beside them, and something transformational began to happen during those moments. Tired legs found new energy, drooping spirits were lifted, and the family was reinvigorated. And they reached their destination. Obviously, the peak of Mount Whitney. And they reached it together as a family and as a team. Now, why do I share this story with you? Because accountability is just like those kids on the mountain trail. We all have our own mountain peaks to conquer in business and in life. And we set big goals, we aspire to reach new heights, but we face challenges along the way. And one of the biggest secrets and hacks to finishing and arriving at our destination is accountability. So having partners, having mentors, having coaches, having a community like that to help and lend a helping hand during a tough hike, obviously these keep us focused on our goals. Provide the encouragement we need when we're feeling worried, they remind us of our ultimate destination, which is success and profit. So concluding, talking about going beyond limits and breaking through growth plateaus, I want you to remember the power of focus. Lock on to that single point of reference to guide you safe to a safe landing, which is profitability, and leverage accountability, which allows you to go further, faster than you would have on your own. And just like Chuck and my business partner and his family safely, successfully reached their destination, we too can conquer our own mountain peaks and achieve remarkable success and our true potential when we do it together. You see, no one ever did anything of any significance by themselves. So it's crucial to your success to surround yourself with those who will help you think bigger, believe in you, and encourage and push you to reach your true potential. And so if you're a business owner that's not making enough money, or you're making decent money, but you know there's another level you can get to, or you just don't even know if you're making money or not, I urge you to join a community, get connected with other business owners like yourself, and start climbing your mountain.
Awesome. Where do I sign?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have this QR code. If you want to connect with us, you can absolutely use that QR code, connect with us. We'd be happy to jump on a call and see if there's some way we can help you.
Good deal. So, folks, just so you understand, Jason and I are competitors. We're friendly competitors, but he is traveling in kind of a different realm than me because he is also what's called a 10X business advisor, correct,
Correct.
Jason? And so his forte, my forte is starting maybe at the lower end of business, a startup to a certain volume of sales, 1 million, 2 million, 5 million, whatever. Jason and in the group that he works with, and this fellow that he's mentioned numerous times, Brandon Dawson, they specialize in taking businesses how far, Jason?
Yeah, 125 billion and beyond.
You hear that? 125 million and beyond. You may have a business that's at 5 million now, but all you've got to do is stretch your mind and see the vision of what's possible. And then plug into somebody like Jason and his group, and let them work for you, put you to work for you. And until you get to that level, think about Russ here at RST Coaching Academy, rstcoachingacademy.com, 386-286-2450. But you've got that QR code. Just rewind that in the video and hit that again. In fact, people that are not on the video, Jason, would be just getting the audio version of this. What's the phone number to reach you at?
Yeah, let me give them the email address. So it's
Info.
at disruptorgroup.com. And that's disruptor with an OR. Info at disruptorgroup.com.
And that would be the website too, is disruptorgroup.com. Or
Correct.
send them an email, info at, tell them that you heard about it from here, from Money Groups. Okay. So anything in closing, anything you want to just hit real quick before we
Yeah,
depart for the
I
day?
just really, again, I believe in collaboration. And so I'm really thankful for the opportunity to collaborate with you. Obviously, you have a skill set as well that's helping entrepreneurs and business owners. And just being, and none of us can help everybody. And so the more people that can reach out and help people, even in a single setting or group setting like this, to me, it's the result is about helping people reach their dreams, and they're going to do that through their business. Most people are going to do that through their business, at least our audience. And so I love what you're doing with the money talks. It plays right into what we talk about with having building profit in your company. And so, anywhere we can support you and your team, and vice versa, where you can support us and our team and the people we're trying to help, I'm all for it. So I really appreciate the opportunity and look forward to collaborating more with you.
That's great. I appreciate the kind words and the opportunity to have been able to get to know you, Jason. and be able to interview you. And actually, it wasn't so much an interview, it was just a real great session of what you're about, what you're doing, what you offer to your clients and would-be clients as well. So anyway, folks, that's it for another episode of Money Talks here, where we talk about money and particularly today, how to make more of it. All right. So if you've got anything for Jason and his company, info@disruptorgroup.com. Anything for me, email at rstcoachingacademy.com. We are both at your service. And thank you. And we bid you adieu until next time. And we say over and out till then. Take care. Bye-bye. Hi, thanks for being here today for another episode of Money Talks. I hope it was informative and encouraging to you. If it struck a chord in your heart, or if you have any questions or comments, please let us know. Visit us at rstcoachingacademy.com, call 386-286-2450, or send an email to email@rstcoachingacademy. Thanks again, and until next time, be great.